another fine episode.
Fine episode of New Level Studios Productions. We are here tonight and in focus and celebration of a specific individual who has influenced both myself and Phil Durd. By the way, we are the only ones on the podcast tonight. We are going old school tonight. No guests.
We are. Yeah, no guests tonight. We're fucking going old school. Which is going to be a real treat for you guys because we haven't done a guestless. It's like doing a topless podcast.
It is kind of like doing a topless podcast. I like that.
Yeah.
And so, funny enough, if this were a topless podcast, you would actually be able to see it because our wonderful, lovely head of PR, studio head, and my wonderful fiance, Melissa, is actually taking pictures as we speak, and they will be posted with this podcast, so everyone gets a little taste of what goes into New Level Studios.
Yeah. So, also, on a side note, some pretty great news, actually. We recently got a sponsor for the podcast, Interloper Brewery, a small local brewery here in Austin, is now the official sponsor of the New Level podcast. So, good things are coming down the pipes. We're going to be looking to maybe expand, you know, get a nice shiny website, our own little URL for all you web addicts out there. You can type it in on your clickety-clack keyboards and go to it and check it all out.
Lest we forget the work that Melissa's been doing recently. So now we have ourselves. We've always been pumping Podomatic. We've always pumped iTunes. We've always pumped WordPress.
Yeah.
Well, we've more recently pumped WordPress, but now, ladies and gentlemen, New Level Studios is officially on Facebook. So
we are
facebook.com/newlevelstudios512. And
go
you can
there,
reach out to us. You'll see pictures. You'll see updates. You'll see whenever we post a new
podcast.
You can
send us hate mail. You can send us love mail.
You can.
You can send us wet t-shirt contest pictures.
The wettest. I mean, just sobbing. Just dripping.
Whatever you want to send us, really. I mean, it doesn't matter. Take a picture of your fucking big left big toe. And whoever has the gnarliest left big toe, we'll do like a contest, and you can like come on the podcast and be a special guest and wave it around.
I do
kind of
like that a little bit.
Yeah,
yeah.
The gnarliest big
the gnarliest
left toe.
Big left toe. That's what we're gonna go with. That should be our first contest for all 23 of our liked listeners. So thank you guys.
Yeah, that
we can totally track you now. And
yeah.
I don't mean that in the I'm gonna track you down and rape you kind of way. Even though you know that's normally what I'm infamous for. More so, hey man, we get to see who is digging us and what's going on. So we get a little bit more of an insight.
I thought it was fucking awesome that the very first day, within hours of our Facebook page going up, there were like 23 people that liked it. I was like,
dude,
wow,
almost,
that's pretty impressive.
Almost 24 likes in 24 hours, and I was more than satisfied.
I like
that.
That's pretty good. So there is actually people listening to us. There, you
or
guys,
at least friends
you really like us. You guys really, really like us.
We either have people who are listening to us or friends who are too afraid to tell us that they don't listen and like us anyway. So whichever
either way
that
we'll
goes.
Take it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we'll take it.
Any publicity is good publicity.
Publicity.
But so anyway, what we're getting into tonight, let me go ahead and paint you a little picture to the kind of also be a additional additive to the pictures that will be posted with this. Wow, there's a lot of P's. Pictures to be posted to the podcast. What we got
with
going on here is a bottle of a, I will say, unnamed whiskey. It is a good bourbon. And we are also dealing with some stock brew that we have. But first and foremost, what we are here to celebrate, as
the
I formerly mentioned,
we are here. Yeah,
is Phil? Why don't you go ahead and introduce Interloper's new
well,
beer?
Yeah, we Interloper actually brought a very, very special one-time only beer for the podcast tonight. It's a dark beer, black as night, and fittingly called Hanneman. It was May 1st when a metal god in my eyes passed away from this plane of existence to go on to the next one, and it inspired me and my co-conspirator to you know, get into the kitchen and brew a beer. So we had a whole bunch of ingredients laying around, and you know, we had some stuff to make a light ale, we had you know, some stuff to make a heavier German, we had some stuff to make you know, kind of a Mexican lime, and what we did was handpicked and went out and mixed ingredients from everything that we had, and it's just kind of a conglomeration of everything.
Would you call it conglomeration is a great word for it. However, would you call it a hodgepodge?
No, I would not, because that's an English word, and fuck them fuckers from across the pond. Nobody likes the English.
Cheers, mate.
They're fish and chips. Actually, I did go to Mr. Tramp's earlier this week and had fish and chips, and it was nice. Fucking stupendous, man.
Stupendous.
It was great. So, yeah, we brought the Henneman, you know, for this special occasion, and... you know, it's here. It's black as night, just like Jeff Hanneman's heart.
It is just as brutal as fucking Slayer.
It is very, very fucking dark brutal. And actually surprisingly not too heavy on the palate. It's a little bit lighter than Guinness.
Yeah, oh,
so
way
it's
lighter
kind of
than
got
Guinness.
The lightness of a light ale with the thickness of like a honey dark. So it is
kind of similar to the Blitzkrieg that you brought over last time. But not similar
is,
so much
but,
in flavor, but same sort of consistency.
Yeah, just how heavy and thick it is. So it's, you know, it's a one-off. I mean, I have, so we have in the cellar, we have a couple of bottles left that we didn't bring over for the podcast. And I may actually just keep one of those, you know, because, I mean, it is a one-off. The recipe is a one-off. We'll never, ever make this again. So it's good to have a podcast, to consume it on the podcast, to have everything, you know, like dedicated to, you know,
fuck
just
yeah,
all
dude.
Together, you know,
absolutely.
Dedicated to Hanneman's memory.
Absolutely.
Because like you were saying earlier, I mean, he definitely had a huge influence on, you know, my musical
oh yeah
coming up as a musician
without
and learning
question.
And you know musical taste and everything, so it's a small thing we can do as a tribute. And you know, it wasn't even really a second thought. I mean, you know, I found out about it on May 1st when it happened. Colin came home from work and I was sitting there blasting Slayer, and he didn't even know about it.
Yeah.
And so I was just sitting there getting drunk. I was drinking whiskey, blasting Slayer. It I told him, I was like, man, Jeff Hanneman died today. And I was like, you know what?
Colin's reaction was, wait, who?
No, well, he actually knew who he was, surprisingly. Yeah, he's from Slayer. Yeah, and I was like, yeah, he is from Slayer. And so after that, I was like, man, we should fucking brew some beer.
You know, yeah, dude.
We had finished the German. You know, we were kind of trying to decide what we're going to do next, if we're going to do another variation of the Mexican Lime, you know, if we're going to do a light amber. And you know, we just kind of went through all the ingredients we had, threw a bunch of random shit together, and that's how it came out.
Well, I mean, I think that overall it was well done, and I think that
it's
that
good. I can say probably not our best effort. I think definitely the Mexican Lime is
Mexican
our best.
Lime was fucking baller.
But
sauce.
This is a very close second. I like this better than the Blitzkrieg that we brought last time for the podcast.
I thought the Blitzkrieg was good. That could just be coming from my own German heritage. But definitely the Blitzkrieg was good. But this kind of has a different flavor. It's kind of got that brutal flavor to it, which
it
needed
does.
To happen.
Yeah,
case.
It does have that brutality to it.
So just as I had earlier stated, we are going to be doing some Slayer trivia, if you would. It's not really going to be in the classic form of trivia, but some fun facts about them, and we'll kind of see what's going on. So, I mean, just to kind of to get this bitch off and rolling, I'm not sure how many of you motherfuckers are, like, intimately familiar with Slayer, and you may not be, you may be, whatever the case may be.
Some of our audience might be. I feel like a lot of our audience may not be, but then you're in luck, because this podcast is going to fucking educate
you.
Yeah,
you're about to know everything
so,
you need to know about Slayer,
open up
like
your ears,
life, baby.
Bend over, spread your ass cheeks, and get ready.
It is about to be raining blood up in this bitch. So, whether or not you are familiar with, you know, with the band, this is a band, you know, when Phil and I can both say that it really has influenced us. We can say so as Phil, even from, you know, his childhood and growing up playing guitar, and especially from mine as well. I mean, Slayer was founded in 1981. So, I mean, we're talking about, you know, when you think of thrash bands and you think of shit like that, a lot of people say, oh, you got like Metallica, you got this, you got that. Well, I mean, Slayer was there, dude.
Yeah.
Like,
they were
fresh out of the fucking late 70s.
They were like, took the SoCal punk scene. And they took, like, the, you know, they pretty much created speed metal. you know, Megadeth was doing some similar stuff. Metallica in their very, very early days was doing similar stuff. But Slayer was doing it faster and harder than anybody else before anybody else was doing it.
Yeah. No, they definitely, you know, they took the cake for that. I mean, Slayer's obviously known for how brutal they are and you know, how fast they are and what it is that they did. But I don't think that everyone really knows how essentially how long, you know, they've been around for, like how they literally put the stake into the situation and said, all right, this is where I'm at, this is what we're doing, and this is where we're going to move forward from. And they literally started this fucking just complete revolution of, hey, fuck you, we're
here. The way I kind of equate it to is, you know, I mean, you go back and like heavy metal or, you know, grindcore or death metal or whatever. I mean, you can trace the lineage back to Black Sabbath. They were the godfathers of that. Speed metal, thrash metal, all this really fast technical stuff that you have nowadays, that goes directly back to Slayer. I mean, they started. They were the only ones doing it. So any of these bands now that are doing it, I mean, you can hear influences from Slayer, you know?
Fuck yeah, dude. I mean, just think about how many fucking twisted-ass metal licks you've heard.
Blast beats, huge in metal now, that fucking started with Slayer, you know?
I mean, fucking Lombardo was just
as you can.
You know, he came out. Yeah. It was like when Lars Ulrich was fucking proclaimed to be like one of like the best thrash drummers. I just put my head in my hands. Because, I mean, yeah, sure, he can fucking hit things.
I don't give Lars Ulrich credit.
I'm not seeing that either. No. I mean, Dave Lombardo, he is like the master of double bass. Like, when you think about that shit, I mean, yeah, there were certainly a lot of players who, you know, used double bass before them, but in just the fast, absolute attack, brutal fucking flavor of this music, fucking Lombardo's god.
Yeah, and another thing to look at, I mean, even so, you know, and a lot of our listeners may not be huge metal fans, you know, but you even look at it on the other side, in the 80s, like, metal was the popular music. I mean, there was no hip-hop or, you know, Justin Bieber or any shit like this. I mean, granted, a lot of the stuff on the radio was hair metal and, you know, Poison and Dokken and all this other bullshit.
Wasp, Cinderella.
Yeah, but, I mean, it was huge in the 80s, and, you know, Slayer was a big part of that whole movement. So even now, you listen to, you know, bands who may not be metal, who may not be heavy, you know, top 40 pop radio, whatever, you know, guaranteed some person in that band, the guitar player, the drummer, the bass player, somebody along that line is going to say Slayer is one of their influences for the band, just because of how widely known that they were coming up, you know. And then in the 90s, they had, you know, they changed their sound a little bit and tried to mix a little bit of the grunge in and slow it down and, you know, all that. But honestly, one of my favorite Slayer albums from the early 90s was Divine Intervention, which they did slow it down a little bit, but it was still heavy and brutal as hell. And then even going further into the 2000s, you know, when they released Diablos and Musica, released Christ Illusion, like, these guys are, you know, been doing this for 20 years, and they're still releasing this brutally heavy stuff that even, you know, new kids who say were, like, born in the 90s, born in the 2000s, you know, don't know any of the lineage, can pick it up and listen to it and be like, this is some heavy shit.
This,
you know,
is fucking brutal.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
You know, I stumbled onto this scene through other channels. You know, it wasn't as though I popped out in 87 and said, oh, fucking Slayer. I mean, I wish that was the case. That'd be brutal as fuck.
I remember,
you know, coming out and all of a sudden, you know, in the operating room, just fucking blood everywhere and just raining blood playing, like, at the same time. I mean, think of how many motherfuckers know that song. I mean, whether or not you know metal, you can hear dun 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 and hear fucking thunder and lightning
and
in the background.
Just,
it's like,
just shows,
it's fucking Rain and Blood,
just
dude.
Goes to show how ingrained Slayer is in popular culture. I mean, they're on fucking Rock Band.
They are on Rock Band.
A game that, like, millions of people play and
may
love.
May I say, on Expert, that shit is fucking impossible. I'd rather play it on guitar than fucking a Guitar Hero. That's all I could say about that shit.
So, I mean,
And thank you and fuck you, Jeff Hanneman, for playing thrash that goddamn
fucking
fast. Yeah,
exactly. And it basically comes back down to the whole, you know, dedication of this podcast to Jeff Hanneman is he was with Slayer the entire time. I mean, you know, integral part of the writing process of, you know, coming up with these songs, of keeping, you know, all the songs relevant to the times, you know, right. Because, I mean, they could have easily said, well, we made, you know, thrash metal in the 80s and we made crap tons of money off the records. Let's just keep doing that. But they stayed relevant for, hell, 30 years. I mean, from what, the 80s until 2013, yeah. From 81. I mean, 30 plus years.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so I mean, it's.
Davey keeps in it real, son.
Yeah.
And they always have. And that's kind of the beauty behind Slayer. And I mean.
And a lot of people, you know, don't really give them credit that they are due. Because, you know, in the 90s, it was all Metallica and Guns N' Roses. And a lot of people grew up listening to that and never really kind of moved further into the other genres of metal, right. That weren't just radio-friendly, right, pop, right, songs, right, right, and all that bullshit. But well, if you talk...
That also goes back to exactly what you were saying. During the 80s, this was the predominant music. This was considered pop music. You know, yeah, what I mean? Like, when, yeah, you, when you think about metal and you think about these tracks that were getting played, this was pop music for the time.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
when that started to move on into the 90s and some of the other bands, you know, that the social culture began to kind of move away from what it is that you're looking at now. And I think that that is some of the reason why Slayer didn't get that credit, because a lot of other bands that would have, you know, kept up in the same circles as Slayer musically did move on, and they were continued to play on the radio for that exact reason, where Slayer remained what they were. Well, and because that all drifted away from it, and so many metalheads were so used to listening to the radio for shit, that a lot of that faded away.
Yeah, well, and also, I mean, you talk to any real metalhead, you know, and when I say metalhead, I'm talking about, you know, somebody who actually listens to stuff that's not played on the radio, and you ask them, okay, what are your top five bands? Guaranteed Slayer is going to be in there.
Should
I mean,
be, yeah,
you know, any true metalhead, regardless, yeah, you know, they say, oh, well, I like Metallica, I like Between the Buried and Me, I like, you know, Monolith, I like, you know, fucking whatever, Coheed and Cambria, even, which is a whole another touchy, horrible subject that I won't even get on, but, you know, it's still relevant. I mean, I feel like we could go on for hours and just talk about how relevant Slayer is and how much it's... I mean, the first, like, when I heard Rain and Blood, I don't remember the exact first time I heard Rain and Blood. I do remember when I was 14, I got my first...
What year were you born? 80?
I was born in 80.
80.
So I was 14, 1994. I was working with my dad at some shitty job. I was making $4 an hour, just cleaning up the shop and all that, and I got my first paycheck, and I was like, $80. I went to the mall, bought a chain wallet, I bought Ride the Lightning, and I bought Divine Intervention on CD, like back in the day. So Divine Intervention for me has a special place in my heart, and it always will. The song 513, the creepy, slow intro.
Just all grindy and shit.
It's like every song on that track. I mean, I used to just put my headphones on and put that CD on when I was going to bed and just listen to it all the way through.
And
so,
this is,
I mean,
why you're as fucked up as you are today.
It could be.
This was your lullaby.
Because in the late 80s and the early 90s, you know, Tipper Gore, Gore's wife, and their, you know, the Christian Coalition was like...
Well, Gore was very, very into making the inner tubes at the time, where Tipper had to get into the Christian Coalition.
Well,
and just
start. Well, the problem is they brought all these legal lawsuits, and they're like, oh, Slayer is devil worship, and they've got all these pentagrams and
everywhere,
all these, you know, all this stuff all
Fun
over
Slayer
their
fact,
album art.
Slayer's original name was rumored to be Dragon Slayer. Hence why they had all the pentagrams. And this was way back when they were actually a fucking cover band.
They started out as a cover band,
but they always brought true all the satanic rhetoric that kind of came with their image, which
honestly
was fucking brutal.
And
man.
Yeah, but I've read interviews with, you know, Kerry King and Tom Araya and Jeff Hanneman.
None of them
are
fucking satanic.
No, they said it was all a fucking just gimmick to sell records.
Of course
they don't worship the devil.
No
they don't
one,
believe
no,
it. Like
man.
it's a bunch of bullshit. And you know, Tipper Gore in the late 80s and early 90s tried to put him on trial along with, you know, Judas Priest and all them old
play their
bands,
records backwards, and it's all fucking you know, kill yourself and kill your family and blah 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 blah.
Yeah, and it's all BS. So I mean, you know, it's I raise my glass to Slayer and more importantly to Jeff Hanneman, because he definitely
we shall raise our glasses physically right now. Melissa will get
we
a little
we are
shout
actually
this
raising
clinging
our glasses physically right now.
All
right. So he, you know, was very influential on my life, musical career, musical taste, as well as Sam's. So, you know, that's basically why we wanted to do this special podcast.
Fuck,
you know,
yeah,
I
dude.
Mean, even if you guys listen to it, you don't like it, you're not Slayer fans, some of you are Slayer fans, it doesn't matter, because this is fucking set in history forever. And if there's any way that the particles of Jeff Hanneman's soul can hear this shit, I know he's fucking rocking out to it. Just to know the two fucking nobodies, you know, are just one small percentage of the people that he influenced in his short time on this planet, you know?
Fuck yeah, man. I mean, for real. I remember growing up, when I started playing guitar, I guess I was 13 at the time, and I started getting past some of that bullshit that I started with, you know, and, you know, I always loved rock music, and that was always a big one. And then moving forward, you know, I started to catch on to other things. I guess 15, 16 years old, I started really falling hardcore into, you know, metal, like good, solid 80s beginning metal sort of shit. So Metallica was just the first time that I ever heard Master of Puppets. I mean, it made my skin crawl, and I said, how the fuck do I make my guitar sound like that?
Yeah,
how do I get that much fucking just aggression out of my six-string instrument? And then I met Slayer. And then I was just like, well, I guess, you know, all the rest of this is just kind
of
like
a lot
the Barney
of their stuff,
thing.
Too. I mean, a lot of their stuff, especially with Metallica's Injustice for All album, where they tried to speed everything up. I mean, you can see direct influences that they took from Slayer and trying to speed everything up with the fucking blast beat double bass and the drums and just a really fast open note on the guitar. So it's...
I can just say I remember one of my buddies came over at the time, and this is when I was kind of learning a lot of this shit on guitar, and I was trying to get all fast and all fucking furious on it, getting all my triplets down nice and tight and all that shit. And I remember one of my buddies came over, and he just fucking completely ripped out on Rain and Blood, and I was like, holy shit. And I watched him play it and kind of awe, and I was like, I did not stop playing that fucking song in my goddamn room for like a month until I had that shit down cold.
Honestly, not only is that one of the best metal songs of all time, but I would be willing to argue that that's one of the best songs of the modern era of all time. I mean, you play the intro to Rain and Blood in a room of 1,000 people, guaranteed 950 out of those 1,000 are probably going to know exactly what the song is.
I would say out of that 400, all throw their horns up and say, fuck yeah.
Yeah, and 400 of those are going to throw their devil horns up and be into it. Yeah, so I mean, it's... You know, a very influential band who doesn't get the credit that they deserve.
They truthfully don't. People are just like, you know, a lot of bands progressed, you know, when that thrash metal scene started coming about, you know, kind of ranging out of the punk and just really getting as aggressive as possible. Once they broke out, some of those bands started to progress, and they started to go into technicality, and they started to go into meatier songwriting. They started to go into a lot of other factors in their music other than just pure balls to the wall fucking, you know, speed and aggression and fucking hate coming out.
There's a lot to be said for that, though. I mean,
really
it still takes a fuck ton of talent to play that fast and that clean.
Exactly.
You know? As a musician, we can both appreciate it because of how clean. I mean, anybody can pick up a guitar and beat the hell out of the strings as fast as they can, but it's going to sound like shit.
Right.
To make it sound clean and good,
Slayer,
where you can actually hear every note.
I mean, the fact that they were the flagship of that.
Yeah.
Like, guys, no one was fucking playing like that.
No.
And then all of a sudden, fucking, you know, Kerry King and fucking Jeva, and they just come out of the fucking, out of the sky. They're just like, yo, check this shit out.
Yeah.
And they're just sitting there. Fuck, dude.
Yeah.
How the fuck did you guys do that? And I mean, seriously, it really did. It did so much on so many levels. I mean, they were a voice of aggression through their lyrics. They were a voice.
Well, they have
a
tribute
album
called Decade of Aggression.
Exactly.
They have, which is a compilation of like.
They continue
like a
down
four
the same
CD.
Path.
Yeah.
Yeah. They continue down the same path where many didn't. And what I hear a lot of criticism about regarding issues like that is that, well, yeah, you know what? All they do is they just play really fucking fast and scream into a microphone. I'm like, nah, dude, you're totally missing the point here. They're getting across something that's awesome. Musically, it may not be fucking, you know, every scale under the sun thinking about it in 18 different ways.
I feel like there's
a ton of theory behind it, but there is fucking skill behind it.
Yeah, I feel like also musicians, you know, both of us being musicians may have a deeper appreciation of it because of the difficulty that it does take.
I mean, don't get me wrong.
To play that fast and that cleanly.
I could pick up my Les Paul right now and do a Kerry King solo and wouldn't really give a fuck. Yeah, just because I mean, it is some fucking, you know, some blendy, chromatic, just absolute, let's see how fucking fast we can get on this shit and just screaming.
But there's a lot to be said to be to play faster than anybody else.
The only thing that I can really put to that is think of a fucking someone who Kerry King directly fucking influenced in a huge way. And I know you're thinking of the exact man that I'm thinking of. Dimebag motherfucking Daryl.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
That's Kerry King equals. Yeah, you know.
Yeah. Hey, actually, when Dimebag died, Kerry King actually spoke at his funeral.
Well, fuck yeah, he was there,
and he spoke at his funeral. So he's another legend that's wherever he is, floating around in the ether, rocking out with Jeff Hanneman and Ronnie James Dio.
All you can say is that Dime just got himself imagine the baller-ass rhythm guitar.
Imagine that fucking Jeff Hanneman. Dimebag, both on guitar. You've got what's his name, Bozzio from The Who, on drums playing, and you've got
Keith Moon,
Keith Moon from The Who on drums playing, and then Ronnie James Dio singing.
That would just holy fucking shit. My butthole is just.
I don't know if it would actually pan out that well, but that's like. It's
man. Keith Moon was a goddamn maniac behind the set.
Yeah, yeah.
Him, fucking John Bonham on the other second drum set because it's that big of a super band that they have two separate drummers.
The bass player from the Deftones, who's really not that awesome of a bass player.
He had a good groove. He was better than Fieldy, I'll tell you that much.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, he just recently died. He was in a car wreck, and he was all messed up and paralyzed and in the hospital for a long time. And it kills me that I don't remember his name. I think it was Chi.
Mm-mm.
No, Chi was a singer.
Yeah.
I don't remember his name. So maybe some of our fans, some of our Deftones fans,
Kyle Broklowski, reach out, give us some fucking background so we stop fucking around with this shit.
Yeah put that on the Facebook, post it, the bass player for the Deftones, and we'll get it right next time.
So contrary to popular belief within metalheads, at least, we would all go ahead and think that Rain and Blood would have been Slayer's most, you know, critically acclaimed and commercially successful album.
Well, it is a great album. There are some songs on there that didn't take the cake. Yeah, they're. I mean, for me, honestly, it's Divine Intervention. I mean, that's the one Slayer, and I know it's their later stuff, and it's not, you know, their greatest stuff. But for me, because that was the first Slayer album that I ever bought with my own money and listened to, so it's like forever stuck in my head, you know, all the songs on there. So it's for me, that's the one.
So fun Slayer trivia fact: South of Heaven, released in 1988, was actually Slayer's most commercially successful album, but received mixed reviews from fans. So not all fans were on board in the same way that Rain and Blood just came out and said, "Yo, fuck all this shit."
Well, that was kind of when there was, you know, the late 80s when hair metal was kind of moving out and grunge was starting to move in. And, you know, I mean, 88 wasn't really when the explosion of grunge.
Right.
But, you know, the West Coast with, you know, Pearl Jam and Mother Love Bone and all
Mother
those.
Love
I mean,
Bone,
there was
yeah.
some influence between bands. I mean, I'm sure, you know, they weren't just playing shows with strictly metal bands.
I'm not going to lie. I think that if the Seattle Boys came on down into the scene, which of course they did at some point, but if that whole feel came down to the scene, I honestly can say that I think Kerry King and Jeff Hanneman would have walked up and just completely fucking slammed their fucking flying V's directly into fucking Chris Cornell's face and fucking, you know, been like, what kind of gay shit is this? And fucking just chop them down with
them. Oh, man, dude, the one thing that always gets me is you look at pictures of Kerry King from the old days, you know, Rain and Blood, South of Heaven, like Hell Awaits, when
just
the
such
early
a happy-go-lucky
albums.
Dude
well,
with
no,
hair.
He was like 190-pound fucking weakling, and then you look at him like later on, and he's like this giant fucking steroided out fucking beast,
dude. Ridiculous.
Yeah, Hanneman always looked the same though. Yeah. Hanneman always had really long fucking black hair, and he's just a skinny dude. He pretty much looked the same the whole time.
And as you were saying, 1991, Decade of Aggression was actually released, and it was the band released a double live album, and that was for their 10-year anniversary. This was
I actually got
1991.
To see Slayer live twice in my life.
I got
the
to
original
see them,
full lineup. I saw them twice.
I know I saw them once. I don't know if I saw
both
them
times I saw them in Dallas. Once was on Ozfest. And the second time they were playing a show with Pantera and Megadeth at the Bronco Bowl in Fort Worth, which is not even, it's closed down now, but it was way back. This was like 97 or 98, way back in the day.
Also, clipping back to what we were talking about, where, you know, radio fucking play took off and where Slayer kind of, you know, started to, I'm not going to say die off in any way, but where Slayer started to taper off in absolute popularity of what was going on in 1990, they actually debuted their first music video with Seasons of the Abyss on MTV Headbangers Ball.
I didn't even know Slayer had a music video.
They played it on Headbangers Ball.
Well, I mean, that's legitimate because in the late 80s, early 90s, Headbangers Ball with Ricky Rockman was a legitimate show. Yeah. They have it now, and it's a bunch of crap. Like, right. They like tried to bring it back, and it's a bunch of crap, in my opinion. But back then, it was, you know, you tuned in every Saturday night to see videos from, you know, all your the badass bands on
right.
there. I didn't even know Slayer had a video, so that's news to me.
And it's also funny that you bring up before what you're saying with kind of the interloping, if you would, of the grunge bands with Slayer and more of that metal as times picked up.
Yeah.
So Slayer was a co-headlining band on Clash of the Titans. This was all around 1990-1991. That was right at
the beginning of the grunge
exactly
explosion.
And it goes to show this because originally they were headlining with Megadeth and Testament and a few other bands, and that tour was actually extended. They added on Alice in Chains in 1991.
Really? That so had to be one of
Slayer
like their very
actually
first tours
fucking,
with Alice in Chains.
Dude,
with,
so you got to think about that, Slayer and Alice in Chains on the same fucking venue.
Yeah, I mean,
that shit's ridiculous.
That's like killing two birds with one stone because you get all the stoners who listen to Alice in Chains
and
wear and
the fucking
stoners plaid.
That listen to Slayer, bro.
Well, yeah, but then the people that listen to Slayer are obviously going to be more aggressive than the people that listen to Alice in Chains. So, you
not
know what I mean?
Say,
Slayer
you're not
going to
fucking
like,
smoke a joint in the pit and then go walk in and break someone's face.
No, but I can tell you,
be swaying and pushing.
I can tell you this, which is still in my mind the most awesome show I've ever seen in my entire fucking life, was a Slayer show. I was in the pit on the floor, and you know how they have like a handicap fucking seating like on the floor close for like handicap people? So. I think it was, the song was War Ensemble. It was like right towards the end of the show. And this wasn't where I was. I was on the left side of the floor. But on the right side of the floor, the pit was fucking going. And you just see this dude sitting in a wheelchair. And somebody picked him up and he was crowd surfing, like a dude in a wheelchair, and people were like carrying the wheelchair above their heads, and he was sitting there headbanging in the wheelchair while people were crowd surfing.
That's,
I was like, that's the
brutal.
Most insane shit I've ever seen. That was at a Slayer show.
That's
that will
awesome.
Like forever stick in my memory for.
Well, when you bring that up, we're talking about the memories of Slayer shows. So when I saw Slayer, I saw them at on Ozfest. It was actually a retro lineup tour. So Slayer was co-headlining with Black Sabbath, also Judas Priest with Rob Halford, a Superjoint, Ritual, Black Label Society. Most of those were the headliners.
Sounds
there.
Like an awesome lineup, except for Superjoint, Ritual.
Right, which actually we all billed. We literally booed Phil off the stage at Jones Beach.
As you
no
should.
Bullshit. Because he just started going on and on and on. Everyone's like, boo, shut the fuck up, fuck you. And then Phil started getting fucking raunchy with the rest of the audience. And then finally we were just like, yo, get the fuck off stage. And he literally fucking threw his guitar down and walked off stage. We were
nice.
Like, yeah! And then Slayer came on. And just as fucking Rain and Blood started, it actually started like, you see cracks in the sky because Jones Beach is an amphitheater. So it's outdoors.
And it's
it
right
started
on.
Raining.
Really?
And we were just like, holy shit, dude,
this
is brutal.
You don't even have to be drunk to appreciate the awesomeness of that.
And there's no general admission at this venue when you go inside the amphitheater. So at that point, there was just front row seats. Motherfuckers up in the front row were literally ripping the chairs out of the ground at Jones
Holy
Beach.
Holy shit. Just
fucking
to
throwing
start
it to
a
the
pit.
Side to pit.
Holy
like, there was
shit.
So much shit that was fucked
that
up. Like,
awesome.
We're all sitting there watching it. We were just underneath, like, the overhang, because obviously we didn't have firmer seats, because I'm fucking broke shit.
Yeah.
I was, like, 16 at fucking Ozfest. And, so we're all, like, over the overhang, and it just starts pouring down. And we're like, yo, this is the craziest fucking show ever. And it starts playing Rain and Blood, and we're just like,
yeah. That's pretty awesome.
And I look down, and I just see the fucking mayhem ensuing at the bottom, and I was like, those motherfuckers are Slayer fans from 81.
Yep.
I was like, that's where this
that's
shit comes
hardcore.
From.
Yeah,
like, fucking
right
ripping, literally just bolted chairs to cement out of the ground and throwing them around.
Hell yeah, impressive. That's pretty hardcore.
But
man,
I think that that is a pretty good note to go ahead and move to our halftime on at this point. So
yeah, yeah, stay Slayer tuned because the halftime. We might even need to extend the halftime for our listeners who are not familiar with some of the classic Slayer songs. So stay tuned for the halftime, folks, because you're gonna hear some fucking Slayer.
Yeah, damn right.
Put your headphones on, turn it up to full blast, and blow
your headphones.
Brains
I don't
out.
Care where you are right now. You rip your headphones off, you unplug it, and you fucking turn your speakers up to fucking 11. You're about to blast some fucking Slayer.
Pounding at the walls of lies, turning out for sanity, reaching back into my mind, I'll rise, dividing from the grave, showing new reality.
So, welcome back from halftime to Level Studio Productions. I hope that you enjoyed your Slayer interlude. Fucking brutal.
Indeed, I enjoyed it very, very much, I must say.
Brutal!
I don't know if I would go that route.
I don't know how he got that high, dude. Like, that was the only thing. His voice was fucking... He stayed yelling at, like,
Tom
a
Araya?
Single decibel, but it just went up. Like, he just managed to... Ow! I could never do that.
Oh, Tom Araya?
Yes.
Yeah. No. Well, if you look at a lot of the bass lines, they're really, like, simple bass lines, but that's
they
because he
that.
Was doing the heavy lifting of all the vocals through every all the songs.
Which, yeah,
I mean,
no,
it makes
I mean,
sense.
He was, but nevertheless,
but you look
it
at Geddy Lee also.
Holy
does
shit.
The
wicked,
vocals.
Wicked bass lines.
Yeah, but he's doing all the vocals, but he's a sick bass player. And honestly, I am not a fan of his vocal stylings. To be honest with you,
living
I really don't like that
my
shit.
Soul
but he is an outstanding, top-notch bass player,
without a doubt. It's just I some
he's
people
great,
love
no, dude.
Some people
so
love
he's a
the vocals,
vocalist.
Some people hate it.
He's a great vocalist. Whether or not you like the style, he's a great fucking vocalist.
I don't, man. I don't like that real whiny, fucking high-pitched, nasally, fucking shit. Just not a fan
it
of it, man.
It was the 70s, bro. That's life.
It doesn't matter. It's just I'm not a fan of it. I don't know. I don't like it. So some people love it. Some people hate it.
It's also Canadian, so I mean, you got to throw that.
Oh,
mix.
Well, there's
well,
that's the fucking
that's
issue.
That's the game
right
changer
there.
Right there.
That's
where it all comes.
Fuck Canada and everything and every person that comes out of it. You know, they have mooses. How do you say?
Meese.
Meese? Is that how you say it? No. If you have like more than one moose in one place at one
moose-i.
Time? Moose-i.
Moose-i.
So they have... So we'll just say it's a four-legged animal with gigantic antlers. And those fucking things
you mean
can
your mother?
Get up to like a 1,000 pounds, bro.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Like if you hit one of those
moose
some bitches,
fucking,
it's
not like a deer,
out.
Dude. Like
yeah,
that's
no.
like your car's total. It's over.
Yeah, no, it's your car. You're done. That's it. It's fucking game over. You hit a fucking moose while you're driving in Canada, it's game
that's
over,
totally
man.
Game, bro.
That's like running into another car that's tall enough to come through
oh, yeah.
your windshield
oh, without question.
And just like
without
take you
question.
Out. I was watching, I was reading this
without
article
question.
On, what was it? It was on Jalopnik, actually, one of the websites I go to.
Right.
And last night, and you're going to get a kick out of this.
Oh, I'm sure
in,
I am.
Wawa, Canada.
Wawa.
Is actually the actual name of the city. There was a tractor trailer that was transporting fireworks, and he ran into a moose and wrecked the tractor trailer, jackknifed it. The trailer caught on fire, and
yes,
the fireworks,
and the fireworks
just like started shooting
oh,
off.
Yeah.
yeah.
Well, that's the only right way to hit a moose.
This happened last night.
That's
so.
The only way to hit a
yeah,
moose.
But just think about it, dude. You hit a moose with a fucking tractor trailer is like 80,000 pounds, and he hit a moose, and the moose was just like, fuck your couch. And wrecked the tractor
still,
trailer and
yeah,
set
know,
it on
but,
fire.
But, dude, you can still say a tractor trailer is fucking, you know, X amount of pounds with its cargo. You're still looking at the tractor only being the size of, you know, probably... let me say this. It's probably... the actual tractor weighs less than, like, an excursion.
No,
nah,
it weighs way more than that.
Dude, no way. Because all you're looking at is a fucking axle in the back, an engine in the front, and that's it. That's all there is to the fucking
yeah,
thing.
Well, you can only load, like, so 80,000 is the max in North America where you can run down the road. Most of the time, you only run with maybe 50 to 60 at the most because
right.
you can't stop that shit. You can't slow it down. It's hard to pull it. It's hard on the truck. It's hard on the transmission. So the actual tractor weighs a lot, too. The trailer itself only weighs about 10,000 pounds. And, you know, the tractor is probably another 15,000 to 20,000.
I'm telling you, it doesn't weigh that much.
And then you add 60 on it, that's where you get to 80.
I'm telling you.
It weighs a lot, bro.
It does not weigh fucking 10,000 pounds.
I used to load those when I worked at the box factory.
I used to drive those when I worked at All Island, bro.
When I was driving the forklift. I used to load them, and the dudes would get pissed off as hell at me because they were like, oh, well, I want you to load this on the left side and put it right over the axle. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not doing any of that shit. I'm just going to load it exactly how I want. Huh?
Is that Colin?
I have no fucking clue.
I don't know. We'll find out.
Maybe.
But so kind of going back to the root of all evil here, what we're looking at in regards to life is essentially, you know, our tribute to fucking Slayer, dude. That shit is a next level band. And
that
in the interim,
common.
what I actually went ahead and did in tribute, an additional tribute to drinking the beer named after the man, is played some of his guitar parts, or at least attempted to, in a clean fashion.
Yeah, it was a nice halftime. We were serenaded by Samuel L. Jackson Roush. So it was a nice little halftime.
I had fun. I cranked up my half stack at fucking 10:30 at night and fucking put my metal zone to the pedal and slammed out some fucking rain of blood.
I think they were having a quinceañera because there was a bunch of people walking down the street with all wearing white. So I don't know if it's like all wear white day, but there were like an abnormally large amount of people wearing white
small pool party. Today,
maybe that's what it is.
Oh no, it most likely.
Do you have to wear white to go to the pool party?
No.
Do you have to be white to go to the pool party?
No.
No.
So a specific
everybody is welcome.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, you know, just like myself, I am not racist, and neither is our apartment complex. So we had a blend of ethnic individuals there as well as, you know, white, black, Hispanic. It was actually kind of fun. I met a dude named Alex today. He is from Mexico directly. He has been in the United States for a year, and from that year, he has enjoyed his time in Austin. He came.
That's
up to
all
me
you learned from talking to this guy.
No.
That he had a good time in Austin.
There's like, more to it. All right, just give me a second here. There's more to it. So I hopped into the pool after, you know, I pull off my wife beater, hopping in the pool. My tattoos are on my chest. So he sees my
hammers.
How
was the water? Because I feel like in June the water should be nice and warm at this point.
Oh, it's nice.
Yeah,
I
really?
Spent hours in that motherfucker.
Really? Did you pee in the pool?
Oh, the whole time. That's how. I mean, it's so warm, dude. I was like, oh, it's cold. And I just pissed in. It was fucking. Between me and the 14 other small children that were in there, it was
it was just all but little kids swimming around in the pool. See, that's the problem with apartment pools is, like, the parents are just, like, you just let the kids run wild, and there's no supervision, there's no lifeguard, there's no nothing. They just let them run wild,
it's just
covered in piss.
Just
like,
shitting,
you know,
and pissing in the pool nonstop.
Yeah. Well, but I've never seen any floaters, but I can almost guarantee that any apartment complex pool you get into is just a gigantic pile of piss.
Well, it's
with
just
a little bit of
pool.
Chlorine mixed in. That's all it is.
So, anyway, this motherfucker, like, literally, it was kind of creepy. Like, he must have seen me from afar, so I was walking up to the pool, and he saw my fucking hammers on my chest from the wall. And so I go ahead and jump into the pool, like fully jump in, you know, head under, and I pop up and I hear some dude screaming at me. My ears are all filled with water. I'm like, what the fuck? I like wipe my eyes away and I see this Mexican running up to me like in the pool, and he was like, yo, yo, yo. And I was like, all right, what the fuck is this shit? Yeah. So I'm like two beers deep, just not even buzzed, just kind of hanging out. And all of a sudden I see this Mexican running up to me. I'm like, what the fuck is this shit? And he's like, yo, dude, you like Pink Floyd? I see that fucking, I've never seen a tattoo like that. And he turns around and he's got the flowers from fucking the wall from the movie. The
Whoa,
one flower
really?
Going into the other right on his back. He just got it like fucking a month ago. I was like, holy God shit. Damn, dude, what's up, man?
He got it in Mexico or he got it in America?
No, he got it here, dude. He got it in, what was it, the Freak Show? The Psych Fest? He got it at Psych Fest.
Not familiar with that.
Downtown Austin. It was sponsored by Sailor Jerry's and apparently it's good times.
Was it sponsored by Sailor Jerry's the rum or Sailor Jerry the tattoo artist?
Both.
Well, they're not the same person.
I understand that.
There's one that's rum and one that's a tattoo artist.
No, and I understand that. No, I'm actually pretty sure it was sponsored by the tattoo artist.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I think I went to it like 2 years ago.
I think Polly
went down there. Therm was there, and we went and saw his daughter in an HBO pilot for a special.
Oh, yeah, with that stupid
shit.
Clown.
Right. Exactly.
With the fucking clown,
yeah, like
dude.
Krusty the Clown or whatever the fuck his name was.
Not, he's like Weasel, Stink Weasel or some shit.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
that.
Yeah. That's
some
exactly
fucking
what his
weird
fucking
clown.
Name was.
Yeah.
But so we went down there and did all that happy horse shit, and that was fun and games.
See, I don't know, man.
It was good times.
I'm really not a big fan of going downtown and dealing with that. And the problem is fucking ACL is coming up. And
ACL's now, bro.
No, it's August because Little Sam and Jamie have tickets and they're coming down here to go to it. And I'm like, well, that makes sense because you're a fucking tourist and you're not from Austin. So that's why you want to go stand in fucking 6 hour lines to pay $9 for a beer.
Fuck that.
And not have any parking and deal with all these out of town tours. Like,
all I can say is that Melissa and I went down for South By. And
I heard
that there was a free show going on and Jack White was playing and I was like, well, fuck, let's go get down there.
Yeah.
So I left work immediately after hearing this. And then from there, fucking drove down and we tried to make it. By the time we parked the car and then attempted to walk down 6th Street to the bar that we needed to get to.
The entire festival was over?
It was almost that big. It was literally the line for the bar was wrapping around the entire bar down the block of the other block. And they're like, oh, yeah, well, only fucking, like, you know, 100 people are let in. There was, like, fucking 600 people in line. I was like,
fucking tourists, man. Yeah, it's like they say Austin is a music capital of the world, which is complete bullshit. I don't know who the fuck said that. But you have, like, all these festivals and bringing all these bands, and the people that live in Austin are like, fuck, I'm not going to this shit because it's just a bunch of out-of-towners who come in and fuck up everything.
And I would normally totally agree with you on that. However, I've
been to ACL, I've been to the Marley Fest, I've been to, you know, Austin City Limits, all that shit. Like, you go once and you realize, okay, well, I'm never doing this shit again. Because it's fucking people that live downtown, shitty hipsters, and a fuck ton of people from out of town. And that's it. That's all the people that are down there.
That's actually pretty accurate.
And I don't like dealing with any of those three. So I'd rather just fucking stay home, you know, watch some TV or drink some beers or whatever. And, you know, because most of the time the lineups for the bands are, and I think we've actually talked about this on a different podcast, where bands are like some unknown fucking nobody band and they can say, oh, well, I played ACL or, you know, I played, you know, Zilker Park or whatever. And they can put that on their resume and think that it's going to move them up somewhere. And it's not. It's a bunch of shitty bands that nobody's ever heard of, that nobody cares about. And all these out-of-towners come in because they're like, oh, it's the huge festival. It's the best one.
There's two sides to that. So if you're only looking at these bands talking about going on ACL and using it for the resume, that's one thing. They're not going to get as far as they would like to get from that specifically. However, you have to understand that the audience in the group that are listening to them, those are fans that they can grab. Because down here in Austin, the underdog, the unknown, the indie band will take the fucking cake over a big fucking act.
I don't know, maybe.
Because you got to think about demographics. So the demographics are you're going to have a bunch of 40-year-olds flooding down for really well-known fucking classic bands. So like Tom Petty comes plays at fucking ACL Live. So there's going to be a shit ton of people that are going to fucking go down there. But the demographic is going to be the older fucking folks from Austin, around Austin, smaller towns in Austin, so on and so forth.
Yeah.
Whereas the more, you know, scenester, hipster sort of fucking kids are going to be down there for the unknown bands. And that is how you spread words, because all it essentially is a gigantic venue for your music to be heard. Whether you're good, bad, or indifferent, you're going to pick up fans.
Well, yeah, it's good because you're getting, you know, you're playing in front of a lot of people. But as you and I both know, being musicians and playing in a fuck ton of clubs in Austin, it's not you just show up and play. I mean, there's a bunch of bullshit politics involved, and you have to sell this many tickets, and you have to bring this many people, and it's all bullshit politics.
It does differ. If you are able to get on the bill at South By or at ACL or something like that, even being in town for South By and playing some gigs, you'll pick up attractions, especially if you're doing free shows. Because a lot of people who are disillusioned, like myself and Melissa, who are like, fuck this, I'm not paying fucking $100,000 for fucking wristbands and shit, we will go to free shows.
Well, that's what it's coming to. Like all the... People only show up to the free shows because they're not willing to pay $200 for a wristband when
have tourists come down to do that. You have Austinites go to the free shows.
Yeah, you have the out of town fucking tourists that come and pay $200 for 3 days, and you know, your wristband gets you into 25 different clubs that are so far spread out from each other that you'll never see every fucking band. You won't even see half the bands that you paid money to see.
Like going to fucking Disney World, bro.
Yeah.
You pay fucking $150 to get in, you'll see fucking, you know, I'm here for 2 days. You see fucking, you know, not even three quarters. You
ride
see
two
half
rides,
to a quarter.
Stand
yeah.
in line
and then
for
that's it.
8 hours.
It's over, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, I don't know, man. I might be jaded. I might be just, I've put up with too much of it. And
I think
just,
that's a pretty truthful,
off.
I think that's a pretty truthful fucking statement for any Austinite that fucking lives here now. It's either you are a true scenester that needs to be downtown and seeing all the free shows and seeing all these fucking guys and wasting your time doing that, or you fucking realize that it's a big fucking rat race. And I think that both of us being from New York, we can see the fucking, we can see the trees through the forest.
Been
you know
down
I mean?
That
so
fucking
it's
road
just
before.
Like, nah, we're not going to do this.
Exactly.
Fucking horse shit.
Yeah. Now, I mean, granted, if you live downtown, if somehow, you know, your parents could afford to get you a condo downtown or, you know, you can afford to rent an apartment, or you live on campus or something like
that. Trust fund, right.
And all this shit is within walking distance. It's a different story because, I mean, you know, what else are you going to do? You're within walking distance of downtown. You might as well walk around, you know, do all the stupid downtown shit. But for grown-up, responsible adults who actually have to pay rent and can't afford to live downtown.
Who responsible?
I pay my bill. I had to actually pay bills today.
I'm not saying
today.
That we can't pay bills. So, I paid all my bills today.
I feel like I'm slightly responsible because I had to pay bills today. No. Does not qualify.
Chuck Testa.
Does not qualify. So paying bills does not make you responsible. But,
not in any way, shape, or form.
Getting back to the point, you know, it's just like the vast majority of Austinites do not live, you know, downtown in Austin in that one small area where all the clubs are at. So you have what it is a bunch of fucking hipsters and scene people that live right there downtown and want to go, you know, see all these clubs, go out on a Tuesday night to go drink at some shitty bar because they have $2 Lone Stars or $2 PBRs.
$2
you know?
PBRs for life, bro.
Nah, see,
I can actually appreciate
it. The problem is, I'm not a fan of PBR. I know a lot of people in Austin are, and it really, if you're going to go cheap beer, if you're going
to
go shitty cheap beer, you got to go with Lone
Star.
Star exactly.
Way to go.
Well,
lie,
see,
yeah.
There you go. You got to go with fucking Lone Star, man. You don't
it's
go with PBR.
Sauce. It's truth.
So it's just, I mean, it's a whole different vibe, man. It's like, it's a scene of people that live in downtown and a scene of people that live outside of downtown. And it feels like all the people that live downtown are either trust fund kids because their parents are paying for them to go to college, or they're fucking hipsters, or they're bums, or some bullshit. And the people that live outside of downtown are like the working motherfuckers,
right.
You know, the blue collar
right.
people.
And
which the blue collar
essentially
people,
where we're at right now.
Well, yeah, I'm.
I do have to admit, I am a little bit more white collar. I do have a middle management job at a larger corporation, but nevertheless, I'm still, I get paid less than what I should be. Also, I do want to kind of put aside, hey, listeners, this is how we make a podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Now y'all know.
So
Phil,
you guys,
wave to the camera.
Oh, we're actually recording this?
We are.
Yeah, so you guys can watch the video and watch the live podcast.
It'll be a brief clip until
it'll
we
be on
figure face- out. But
it'll be on Facebook. You guys can watch it, comment on it, say you love how sexy we look, or love how dangerous and James Bondish look.
Oh, so dangerous, so James Bondy.
It is what it is. Oh, but yeah. I don't know, man. It's honestly, I think going back to it, the debate for, you know, all that, all the festivals and all that shit, man. It's just, to me, you know, I'm not somebody to be like, oh, well, fuck that. It's a bunch of bullshit without actually going down and trying it. When I first moved to Austin, I was like, yeah, you know, I want to try all this shit. Sounds awesome. Marley Fest, which is basically a bunch of dirty hippies smoking dirty, nasty, cheap fucking weed and rolling around in the mud. Which
is like all of
it's
that.
Terrible,
it's one
man.
Of my hobbies.
It's terrible. It's like Austin is like becoming rapidly becoming like a tourist destination, almost like New York.
It
you know, like
absolutely is,
like when we lived in New York, like you could tell a tourist in New York. You know, like if you lived in New York, you could see somebody and be like, oh, that motherfucker's a tourist. You know, they're just wandering around. You know, they're going, oh, I want to see this, I want to see that. They're all happy to be there. They haven't been beaten down by the reality of life of living in a town and dealing with out-of-town tourists all the time. So maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's just being jaded. Maybe it's just because I hate everybody and anybody. I mean, it's, I don't know. It is what it is. So
I completely agree with you.
I mean, I could rant and rave about it all fucking night long, but nobody wants to hear it.
No one wants to hear about that.
And
nobody
got
time for that.
I feel like most of our listeners would probably agree and be kind of on the same basis because a lot of the people that listen to us are in the same shitty boat that we're in. You know, blue collar, don't live downtown, got to go to work every day, hate the tourists, hate the out-of-towners that come in, you know. And it is what it is, man.
When South by and ACL actually fucking legitimately hits down here, I think that the majority of the individuals, even the ones who listen to the show, the ones who don't listen to the show, we try to remain as far outside of that bullshit as possible.
Yeah,
we're like,
absolutely.
Oh, downtown? No, never. Not even once. Yeah, not, no, nope, nope. No. This entire period is blocked off.
Well, it's just all it takes is getting stuck for a fucking hour in traffic because of all the out-of-towners.
It's like trying to head into
shit.
Fucking Manhattan for the Thanksgiving Day parade.
Yeah, no, it's,
like,
it's just not
nobody
happen.
Does that. Everyone's no. like, oh, yeah, we're in New York. No, no. That's fucking horse shit.
That being
same
said,
shit with St. Patty's Day parade.
Well,
no one goes down for that shit.
There's a bunch of other really fucking awesome, cool shit that you can do that's not downtown. So you remember, the people in North Austin might know where this is. On 183 and Anderson Mill, you remember right where we used to live, our third floor apartments? You know what they just finished building? Indoor skydiving fucking...
I know, man.
Have you seen that thing?
I have. That shit
it's
is fucking
awesome.
It's
an indoor skydiving place. And the thing is like 40, 50 feet tall, like five stories. And you can go in there.
It's pretty fucking awesome, dude.
I
want to
go in there.
Tempted.
Like my father always told me. He was like, there's
we
two...
We should do the podcast in there.
Inside the skydiving thing?
Just get the fucking headsets, like your headset, and then fucking mine, and just fucking duct tape that shit to iPhones, and just be like, all right, we're podcasting, this is it.
So we could do this. We could have a New Level Studio field trip and have anybody that wants to come with us and go indoor skydiving. Because my father always told me, he was like, there's two things that fall out of the sky. He was like, it's bird shit and idiots. And I'm not either one of those. But if I can go indoors.
You're definitely an idiot. There's no question about that. Let's go skydiving. Let's do that.
If I can go indoors and float from the ground up, I mean, I'm sure they have padded walls and shit in there. And like, you have to put on a helmet and all that stuff. So you're not really going to get jacked up that bad. But I definitely want to try it, man. I feel like it would be a really cool experience, you know? Even completely sober,
I completely agree.
You know, the adrenaline rush you would get just to, like, be flying, floating
like,
in midair.
So for Valentine's Day, Melissa bought us tickets to go see a show. And it was fucking awesome sauce. I think, was that the Coheed and Between the
BT Bam? Yeah.
So we stuck around for BT Bam and then we left for Coheed. But, I really want to get you a Valentine's Day present in return. So, like, we were looking at, like, zip lining over Lake Travis or fucking indoor skydiving.
That's not really that great because it's like 30 seconds of fun and then it's over with.
Well, no, apparently it's like a mile and a half of zip.
Is it really?
Dude, apparently it's supposed to be, like, fucking ultra baller sauce.
But you have to drive pretty far to do it.
I don't know.
Well, I mean, the indoor skydiving place is very close to New Level Studio. So, I mean, we could go down there on a whim on a Tuesday afternoon in August and probably get a discount because we're, you know, going when nobody's showing. I definitely wouldn't want to.
No one's going to give us a discount. We're going to walk in and be like, oh, yeah, $350 a pop. Like, wait, it said $50. No, $350 a pop. Like, no one's going to give us a discount.
I recognize you assholes.
Yes, exactly.
We know who you are. So, I don't know, man. Guys, listeners, put it on the, you know, you definitely have access to our Facebook page now.
Absolutely.
If anybody would be interested in going indoor skydiving with New Level Studios, post it up there, man. Let's see how much interest we have. I'm definitely interested in it, but I don't want to go by myself.
No, I mean,
I want to have friends, so when I get scared and pee myself, I have somebody to point and laugh at me.
No, see, you got to have someone flying above you while you piss yourself, because it's all
so
just
the wind blows directly up into them. Can I just, like, float on my back and then just pee straight up when I piss myself?
Up. No. Don't float on your back. Float on your stomach, because it's still pissing into the wind. So
yeah,
you
but
get
I feel
your
like,
pants wet, and then you also get the other person
well,
wet.
Well, that's what I'm trying to avoid is pissing on myself.
On a more realistic point, what I did want to say is this. I would absolutely love to have a New Level Studios gathering for any and all podcast listeners, for any and all people.
All
and
you guys.
The joint that I was thinking about was Mr.
We could do
Trimps.
A barbecue. Oh, yes.
So
the fish and chips
that,
there are fucking awesome.
Dude, the food's there is good. The people there are cool. They have a 100 beers on tap. So if you're a beer snob, this should turn you on.
Yeah.
This is good. They have a lot of shit. If you're not a beer snob, the fucking prices are reasonable. They have what you want.
Yeah, I mean, hell,
whether
you
bottle
can
or tap,
walk in there
tight.
And get a Lone Star, a 16-ounce Lone Star on tap for $2.
Exactly.
Like, I mean, it's cheaper than you're getting
it really does
else.
Go from place to place. And, like, we know the fucking, not to say, oh, yeah, we know these people, but, we are cool and better yet, let me rephrase this. The management at Mr. Tramps is really cool and open for any ideas. So if we're able to have a New Level podcast party, that would be amazing for us. We just fucking got past episode 10. For most people, episode 50 or episode 100 would be like a celebration. Yeah. For us, 10 is like, holy shit.
Yeah,
we beat the game
over
at this
point. Year later.
Exactly.
Now. It's
so
way over a year
that
later
being the case, we are legitimately trying to be more on track. We are trying to gain more listeners. We are doing this on a more regular basis. We are doing this all for the love of giving ourselves.
Guys.
This is one big masturbation project.
Yeah,
but
really
by the
is.
Same token,
really
we
is.
Are doing this for anyone who enjoys the fucking time that they have listening to this bullshit. Because Phil and I both know we are the founders. We are where it's at. We could not have done this without people who listen to us, and we especially could not have done this
like
without
PBS,
fucking beautiful
people like you.
Well, yes,
we
definitely
couldn't
that.
Have done this without people like you.
I was actually going to give the biggest shout out that we've given in a while to Melissa Bell. And
oh,
the reason
yeah,
being is because she fucking set us up. She
is putting
us out there where we have never been before, and we really want to be able to reap the benefits of that.
Yeah, she.
So whether that be friends, fucking loved ones, whatever the case may be, like us, hate us, fucking whatever. We're on all the fucking social media now, and now
yeah.
we really want to get in touch with anyone who listens to us, whether it be for fun, whether it be for fucking serious shit, given we don't talk about serious shit, but whatever the case may be, just to fucking sit down and have a fucking fun conversation. If you've never been on a podcast, if you don't know what it's fucking made about, I am happy to sit down and say, hey, you know what, let's fucking do this. So
yeah.
by the time
some of
this
our
shit
best
posts,
guests have been our first time guests,
exactly,
you know,
who people who are just like, wait, what the fuck is a podcast?
Yeah.
I don't even know what this is.
Yeah, exactly. And the best part is, even if you're afraid of doing a podcast, just think, we record this and
penises.
We put this, well, no, we record this and put this on the internet, and it'll forever be saved. You'll be dead and gone.
Forever.
400 years from now, somebody's going to find my removable hard drive and going to find the New Level Podcast, and they're going to hear your voice, and it'll be like, oh my goodness, I think I'm related to him. It's going to be like Abraham Lincoln
it's
and
gonna
all
be
his
in a
illegitimate
pile
black children.
Of AOL fucking floppy disks.
that's
where
that's my
exactly
removable hard
be.
Drive. That's what I use. It's just a bunch of burned AOL discs, and that's my removable hard drive. That's what I use.
But I am dead serious. If we can get fucking 10 or more people, all right, so if we wind up setting up an invitation,
we
can
even do a live podcast.
If we can get
10
or more,
well.
Yeah, dude, we can do a live podcast down at a bar, and a bar of your choice. Mr. Tramps just happens to be one of our favorite spots to
it
go to.
It is one of our favorites. They have been very kind to us
they
over
have,
the years.
And it's good for everybody. You can get anything you want, fucking whether it be import beers, microbrews, fucking local Austin beers, and or export, you know, shit like that. You can get whatever the fuck you want. The food's good. It's fucking chilled out as fuck. So that's the place that I'm recommending. I would love to hear feedback on this. I would love to actually fucking see people say, you know what? A party at fucking Mr. Champs would be awesome as shit. And
yeah.
it would cost New Level Studios little nothing, and it would cost you nothing but a good time. So
yeah.
why don't you go ahead and give your feedback to
come
us?
Down
let
and
us
see
know
us.
What's up.
You may see,
fucking, yeah.
You may see us in our regular everyday lives, but you don't really see us in our New Level Studio lives when we're, you know, serious or as serious as we can be doing a podcast.
Right.
It's a completely different demon, but it's
it
not
is.
Nothing to be scared of. I mean, honestly.
It's just robot penises to your mouth.
All of our longtime listeners, I mean, if you've heard all the podcasts through, you know we have the most random guests ever on here. And it's not like, well, you have to, you know, have accomplished great things in your life, or you have to be, you know, famous in your life or anything. I mean, you got to be a regular Joe Blow who just, you know, knows one of us or knows anybody.
John.
Just be a regular somebody on Facebook. Hell, even if we don't even know you, if one of your friends says, hey,
fuck,
check out this Facebook page. There's a podcast. It's somewhat funny. It's somewhat entertaining. If you want to be a guest on a podcast, we're open to it. Come here. We'll put you through the training regimen. You know, just make sure to wear some loose-fitting pants, some
right.
comfortable shoes.
Make yourself comfortable.
You know, and,
that's really what's important.
And
you're
we'll
about
get you
to
on
get
a podcast.
Your drink on. And you're about to fucking deep throat some robot penis. So if you're cool with both robot penis and when I say robot penis, I hope that everyone understands at this point, now that everyone will. It's a microphone.
It's a microphone.
Microphones
yes.
are not a natural thing to have in front of your face. So until you get used to using them, it's a little awkward to be like,
yeah.
all right, microphone is second nature. I just speak into it. It's a little bit different. So once you put your headphones on, you realize what your voice sounds like. You hear it outside of your own head and you start freaking out, having a panic attack and saying, fuck, I don't want to do this anymore. That's when you sit down. down with New Level Studios and you sit in on a podcast and you talk your fucking brains out and all you do is you talk about bullshit because that's who you're with.
You might be in luck because I know I mentioned this earlier, but we are now sponsored by Interloper Brewery.
We are sponsored.
So should be able to get in contact with those guys and
those guys
have
need
some,
to make a keg.
Well,
like
that
a full size
that
keg
is honestly that is in the works right now.
That's what I like to hear.
We will be making a trip later this week to the brewing store to pick up a 5-gallon keg.
Yes,
and we are going to ramp up production.
You're talking about like a pony keg?
Yeah, we're going to ramp up production really, really quickly. Like,
good.
It's going to start being not just, 8-liter bottles of beers. We're going to be ramping up production pretty quickly.
Well, I think that a keg would definitely bring y'all to the masses, and that's what we need to do. So the bottom line is, thank y'all for listening, as always.
Absolutely.
We hope that you enjoyed the, for the most part, the Slayer tribute fucking podcast. It is all about the man who we know and love,
Jeff
which
Hanneman.
Is Jeff Hanneman.
Yes.
And we thank you for that. We've drank
also,
his beer
guys,
tonight.
I mean, you have access to our Facebook page. If you want to put any, post some your favorite Slayer song, post
yeah,
your favorite Jeff Hanneman
yeah.
pictures. I mean, this podcast is completely dedicated to him, I mean, it's thanks to our fucking extremely awesome studio head, Melissa. We have everything up and running now, so you guys take full advantage of it. Let us know what you want to hear, what you don't want to hear, what you like, what you don't like, if you want to be on the podcast. I mean, just fucking let us know. Now you have the opportunity be directly in contact with us.
Direct feedback. Fucking love, hate, fuck you, whatever. It doesn't matter. I expect the majority of our information and feedback to be a fuck you, and I'm fine with that. If everyone fucking comes to us and say, end the podcast, you know what we're going to do for you?
We're going to keep going.
Exactly. We are going to keep this motherfucker going just to aggravate you further. So, bottom line is, if you know what's good, fucking give us some feedback. If we wind up assembling something and we wind up sending you an invitation, if you're not going to go, just say I'm fucking not going to go. If you're maybe going to go, just say you're not going to fucking go. If you are going to go, then fucking say okay to that shit because we want you down there. So, listen, I will put this proclamation out here right now. If we can get 15 people to agree to fucking RSVP and come to a fucking New Level Studios fucking podcast, what we will do is we will go out and we will do a mobile podcast. If you're interested in being on it, please be sure to fucking leave a message stating that. I will bring extra mics or rent extra mics, whatever it fucking takes.
Whatever it takes.
I want to have a good fucking time with everybody, and if that's what it takes, then that's what it takes. I don't give a fuck. Bottom line is, if you are interested in doing a New Level outing, leave your feedback. Once we create a fucking event and we send out invitations, if you're down, hit yes. If you're not, don't worry about it.
That also means our friends in New York, specifically Jeff Ortega, because I know you work for
Jeff
Delta.
Jeff Ortega, you motherfucker.
And
you
can
be
fly
down
here for free, so you have no excuse. P. Titties. So,
P. Titties for
looks
life.
Looks like we're coming to the end of another fine episode. I myself, along with Sam, want to sincerely thank all of you wonderful people for sticking with us.
I want to sincerely thank.
Listening to it. Definitely the Interloper Brewery came through. The Jeff Hanneman.
Jeff Hanneman's baller, bro.
Very good. And what we're going to do.
Tight butthole. And by the way, not that anyone from Workaholics Cast is listening, but if they are, I would absolutely love for you guys to do a promo for this motherfucker. All I need is tight butthole, bitch better have my honey, motherfuckers listen to New Level, and I would just cream my pants. So just throwing that out there, since
help
it is
out.
On the internet, anyone hears it, I'm going to be contacting y'all soon.
Help us out. And
the tightest
yeah.
butthole.
I think we are going to sign off and drink some more Hanneman. And
we are. And as always, Phil, go ahead, do your plugs for us.
Oh, yeah. Well,
so we are New Level
honestly,
Studios
now,
on Podomatic. We are New Level Studios on fucking iTunes. We
yeah.
are New Level Studios fucking show. WordPress.com/New Level Studios.
Really?
New Level Studio. No, actually, I lied. It's NewLevelStudios.wordpress.com.
Let's not do
in addition
any of the
to
plugs.
That, fuck you. I'm going to do all the plugs.
No,
since
because
we have
the only
now.
Plug we need is go to Facebook. You can find
so, yeah.
every single thing that you need to find for New Level Studios
well,
on
so,
our Facebook page.
Let me go ahead and specify this. It is. Is facebook.com/newlevel, NU Level Studios 512.
Go there.
So without that,
you can find
if you
everything.
Go ahead and type in New Level Studios on Facebook, you may see a
a studio in Austin that has been closed down for the past 2 years.
Well, no, no, so not that. You may see a variety of individuals in the pictures. You have to understand that it's New Level Studios 512.
Yes.
So that's where we're at. So go ahead and check that shit out. Fucking friend us, like us, hate us, fuck you.
Call me.
You know what? Like us and become fucking familiar with our website just so you can leave fucking hate posts so that we can recite that hate post on the fucking podcast.
Oh, yeah.
So we want all the trolls. I'm calling out every motherfucking troll on the internet right now. And if you don't fucking come and leave us some fucking troll mail, then we are just unhappy with you and you are not a true troll.
Plus,
you were just a fucking cunt face.
Plus, we can see you on Facebook. We know where you live.
We know where you live.
Call me.
And that brings us to another episode. Another fine episode, New Level Studios. This is the end, my friend. And we hope to see
you
soon.
Say goodnight, Sam.
Good night, Sam.
Good night, Phil.
Good night.
Warriors, Warriors.